This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Hello, everyone. This is Charles Mills, health reporter for HeartWise Ministries. Our guest today is Michael Greger. He is a physician, author, and internationally recognized speaker on nutrition, food safety, and public health issues. He's also the man behind nutritionfacts.org, an amazing website that contains just about anything you want to know about clinical nutrition. Last time on this program, we were talking about the top 10 searches that indicate to me, and I'm sure to Dr. Greger, what the audience out there, what the people out there really are looking for. And we covered those areas, 10 through 5. So today we talk about the last top four, the top four searches on nutritionfacts.org when it comes to clinical nutrition. Before we get into those very important subjects, and this may surprise you what some people are looking for, and it may be what you're looking for as well. Just recently, Dr. Greger, you and a bunch of your cronies, and I say that with all the love and affection, you were in Texas for a very important meeting. What was happening there, and who was there, and what happened?
Yeah, no, so this was really one of the most exciting things. I think we're reaching a tipping point here in society. So, you know, President Clinton is starting to eat healthy, adopting a plant-based diet to reverse his heart disease. You know, things like that. When, you know, Oprah Winfrey and when Ellen and all these, you know, have these shows about plant-based eating. Things are really starting to change. But the fact that here I was in Marshall, Texas, rural Texas near the Louisiana border, at this conference put on by the mayor, who eats a strictly plant-based diet, and the police chief eats a strictly plant-based diet, and hundreds of people showed up to learn about plant-based eating. This entire little town rallying around, you know, preventing, treating, and reversing disease. This is in the stroke belt. This is a very unhealthy part of the country.
This is in beef country, for goodness sakes.
So here we are in cattle country.
Yeah.
People getting up. And the best speakers weren't the doctors, weren't the, you know, world-renowned scientists like Dr. Colin Campbell, who was there speaking.
Yes.
It was the people, one after another, got up and said, look, you know, 6 weeks ago I started eating this way, and all of a sudden I'm, you know, out of pain the first time in my adult life. My diabetes is gone. I used to be on 9 different medications. Now I'm on no medications. Mm-hmm. You know, I lost hundreds of pounds. I mean, these were people, these were their fellow townspeople.
Yes.
Being able to live their lives again, being told by the medical profession that, you know, basically to go home and die. There's nothing else they could do for them. And here they were, taking charge of their lives, taking charge of their health, and they were inspiring each other. I was in tears. I learned, you know, as much as anybody there. And when this can happen in Marshall, Texas, I mean, I think that the future is very, very bright in terms of really changing the health of our country around.
You really bring up an important point there. Those of us who have listened to this program and who have made these changes, we are the best advertisement for health out there. Would you say that's true?
It's important to role model health, absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes. And we can just take our slim down bodies, and we can take our broad smiles and our healthy hearts, and we can run around and we can say, you know, hey, if you would like to learn about this, I'll be happy to tell you. Don't push yourself on anybody, but just say, you know, if you would like to learn more about this, here's a website, here's a speaker, here's some programs you can look at, here's some videos you can watch. We need to do that, because I'm going to make a little prediction here, Dr. Greger, and you may correct me, but you know more about this than I do. But I would say that in 30 or 40 years, maybe even sooner, eating meat is going to be like smoking is today. Would you say I'm on the right track as far as people's attitudes are concerned?
Wait, I mean, it already is like
really?
Smoking today in terms of our chronic disease burden, but it'll get into the public consciousness.
Yes.
And we may see, you know, lawsuits, you know, against the junk food and the animal product industries, you know, trying to recoup some of these healthcare costs that are bankrupting states, bankrupting our federal government. And saying, you know, and like these billion-dollar, suits against the tobacco industry, they knew what they were selling.
Yes.
Was hurting people, but they kept doing it. and we may see warning labels. There's already the food safety warning label. This could kill you if you don't handle it and cook it right. Well, soon we may see labels saying, look, this is going to increase your risk of the chronic killer diseases, you know, heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, obesity, et cetera, on down the list. And look, if people still want to, you know, eat these products, they should do it, you know, fully informed, right? I mean, they should just, look, you know, smoking's not illegal, but look, at least now people know this is what you're putting yourself at risk when you smoke.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't tell you the number of times I've stood in the grocery checkout line and the person in front of me maybe has a weight problem or, you know, is limping, and I know that there's some diabetes happening there. I just want to grab their cart and throw it across the room and say, look, let me show you how to shop here. I listen to Dr. Greger. He can show you how to shop too. I try to restrain myself and guide them to places like nutritionfacts.org. Okay. All right. I'll get off my soapbox now. The top four top searches on nutritionfacts.org, an indication of what people are looking for as you have put these studies up and the compilation of these studies and the summaries of these studies up for us to look at. Number four, the leaky gut theory of why animal products cause inflammation. Leaky gut, what's going on there?
Well, for 15 years now, we've known that a single meal of meat, eggs, or dairy causes the spike of inflammation within hours that can stiffen our arteries. Our entire vascular tree gets inflamed, stiffened, and just as this kind of inflammatory, crippled state in our arteries starts to get better about 4, 5, 6 hours after we eat, there we go, lunchtime, we may whack our arteries with another load of meat, eggs, or dairy, such that many Americans are stuck in this chronic, low-grade inflammation danger zone, setting us up for inflammatory diseases like heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, one meal at a time. And again, this is damage occurring not years down the road, but literally minutes after it goes into our mouth. But we didn't know why. We didn't know what exactly is going on. We know there's the saturated fat and cholesterol that builds up later on, but why within hours do we get this burst of inflammation within our system? And we just figured out why last year. And so I covered that kind of breakthrough study that we kind of figured it out. So originally, that was the leaky gut theory, was we were thinking that the animal products somehow made our guts leaky, and so our own bacteria in our gut creeped into our bloodstream, and so, of course, that would cause a lot of inflammation. But it turns out, no, the bacterial toxins, the bacteria are in the animal products themselves, that these animal products are so loaded with bacteria that can cause inflammation dead or alive, even if they're fully cooked. So I'm not talking about food poisoning, but the actual bacteria cell walls, these so-called endotoxins, these toxins in the bacteria are not destroyed by cooking or stomach acid or the enzymes in our digestive tract. And so when we eat this load of bacteria toxins, it gets absorbed through our gut wall with saturated fat helping that process. And so we get we're acutely sensitive to bacterial toxins, so we get this burst of inflammation every time we eat these animal products. And so now that we know what the answer is, what we can do is we can go out of our way to reduce, eliminate animal products from our diet so we don't get this burst of inflammation every time we eat three times a day.
All right, very good. We're talking with Michael Greger here. He is a physician and author and speaker, and also he is the driving force behind the website nutritionfacts.org. We're looking at the top four searches on that site in the last few months. And the next one, oh dear, there are people, Dr. Greger, who swear by green tea, and how dare you find something better than green tea? What's going on?
Well, in terms of antioxidants, this new study came out that looked at 3,291 different foods. I didn't even know there were that many out there in terms of antioxidant content. I mean, this was really just blew away. The last study was done by the USDA in 2007, looked at 277 foods. So this is, I mean, kind of an order of magnitude more. And so I had a whole series of videos saying, wow, now that we've tested basically everything, you know, we can really compare. And so this was the one that looked at beverages. So it compared tea to coffee to various juices and teas and herbal teas and milk, et cetera, on down the line, trying to find out, well, you know, what has the most kind of antioxidant punch per glass. Mm-hmm. And what I was surprised is that it used to be green tea. Green tea had the highest antioxidant power.
Yes.
And so you could basically bathe your body in green tea all day long by drinking these antioxidant-rich teas. But it turns out there's one that's even better. There's one beverage that even has more antioxidants. Now, green tea may have special phytonutrients that have specific effects that are missing from other beverages. But in terms of antioxidant content, hibiscus tea. And so that's this beautiful red flower. People tend to buy it as like red zinger tea. That's what puts the zing in zinger tea. It makes this gorgeous ruby red herbal tea, no caffeine, has more antioxidants per sip than any other beverage on the planet. And so I encourage people to try it out. In fact, there are many countries, for example, down in Mexico, they call it Jamaica tea. And it's kind of the iced tea of Mexico. And they had it right all along, and it's delicious stuff, and I encourage people to give it a try. And so that's kind of my go-to beverage these days. And so I had some recipes up on the site. And so Better Than Green Tea is the video to go to learn more about hibiscus.
Well, you know, I'm glad you say that, because I have been drinking, I didn't know that it was so wonderful. I haven't been drinking green tea, but I've been drinking this other tea simply because I like the name, Red Zinger. I mean,
there you go.
What better name can you have for a tea? I'm going to have some Red Zinger there. There we go. So that's going to help you. Red Zinger is the name of it. Go to your health food store or most any store that has teas, and you can find something called Red Zinger that has the hibiscus in there, and you will be just loading yourself up with antioxidants, which, of course, we know are important for cancer fighting. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, more with Dr. Michael Greger. We have the top two searches on the website nutritionfacts.org coming up, so stay right where you are.
Testing, testing. Okay, ready. Dear Diary, the teacher of my health class at school wants us to keep a record of what we do to stay healthy each day. So here goes. Today, I stood on the playground and breathed deeply 6 times, which some kids thought was kind of dumb because I was playing soccer at the time and my team was losing. What they didn't know was that breathing deeply helps relax you and makes you smarter. Breathing deeply fills your blood with oxygen, and that oxygen goes to your brain and muscles and makes them work better. Trust me, my team needed to work better right about then. So, there I was, breathing deeply, when the ball comes flying out of the sky and hits me right on the head. That made me so embarrassed, I went over and kicked it as hard as I could. That ball flew down to the end of the field and bounced right into the net. Goal! Now, I'm not saying that breathing deeply will help your soccer game, but it will reduce your stress and make your organs healthier. My health teacher said it can even reduce your blood pressure, which I really needed at that time. You see, when I got embarrassed and kicked the ball, I kinda kicked it in the wrong direction, and it went right into my own net. Yep, that's right. I scored a goal for the other team. They were very happy and congratulated me. My team wasn't so thrilled. What did I learn today? Breathing deeply is good. But if a ball hits you on the head and makes you embarrassed, don't kick it.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills here with Dr. Michael Greger. He is not only a physician and author and internationally recognized speaker on nutrition, he's also a founding member of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine and also the Director of Public Health and Animal Agriculture at the Humane Society of the United States. He is a busy man, and one of the things he does is maintain a website called nutritionfacts.org. And on that site are hundreds. How many videos do you think you have on there by now, Dr. Greger?
Well, we're up to about, been doing one a day. And so there's about 600 videos now on more than 1,500 topics.
And these are searchable, so you can just put in what you want to know in the search engine there, and it will find the videos on those topics. It is where I go first. I just want you to know, when I want to know something about nutrition, that's where I go first. Then I wander off other places if I need to, but I usually don't. That's where I go first, nutritionfacts.org. I love that site. You can probably tell. All right, number two search recently on that site is apparently women trying to find out how to live longer. I guess traditionally women have they lived longer than men traditionally? How's that working?
Oh, they do. They have. But unfortunately, we've reached a point where our next generation may live shorter lives as opposed to longer lives than the current generation.
All right. So women are wanting to know how to live longer, and you say what they should eat. What is that exactly?
Well, the Harvard Nurses Health Study, the 35-year follow-up, was just published. So it's now the most definitive long-term study ever on older women's health here in the United States. And since, look, it's been going on for decades, you know, thousands of participants have died. But in that time, it allowed them to determine what are the risk factors for mortality. Well, because, you know, heart disease was the leading cause of death for women, and no surprise, you know, dietary cholesterol consumption, only found in animal foods, significant risk factor for dying. Second leading cause was smoking-related cancer death. You know, more women actually die of lung cancer than they do of breast cancer. But what's so neat about this study is it's what's called a competing risks analysis. So it basically allows you to compare different risks to one another. So consuming the amount of cholesterol found in just a single egg a day appears to cut a woman's life short as much as smoking 5 cigarettes a day for 15 years.
Ooh.
That's 25,000 cigarettes.
Oh my.
And that was a finding supported last year by that landmark article, got a lot of press, found this similar exponential increase in artery clogging plaque in both smokers and egg eaters. But on the flip side, the most protective behavior they found was fiber consumption. So you just, a cup of oatmeal's worth of fiber a day appears to extend a woman's life as much as 4 hours of jogging a week. Of course, there's no reason you can't do both.
Right, right,
but I think the take-home message, it's worth noting that the intake of cholesterol, only found in animal foods, was associated with living a shorter life, and the intake of fiber, only found in plant foods, was associated with living a longer life.
Well, you know, there is no reason on this earth why we cannot live a healthy life. I am just convinced of that. We have been led to believe that it's heredity. It's what's in our genes that determines our length of life. Some people even say, well, okay, it's my exercise regime. It's my diet. The answer is all of the above. They all play a part of it, but it seems to me, I hear you saying throughout these programs when I have you on here, that diet reigns supreme, exercise comes in next. These are all very important, and why not do both? Why not drop the egg? Why not drop the cigarette? Why don't we start eating plant-based? Why don't we go for walks? We can really extend ourselves and extend our lives by simply making these simple choices that really don't cost anything at all. Am I on the right track, Dr. Greger?
Look, and if we do, if we have been dealt a bad genetic deck, I mean, if we just, you know, our parents, there really has been, you know, bad diets running families too. But, if people are dying earlier in our family, then that just means we have to eat even healthier, right? It's not an excuse. You don't have to, it's not to throw up your hands and say, oh, I just have bad genes. Well, if you have bad genes, then you got to eat really healthy. Some people can get away with a pretty good diet, but for people that have a lot of disease in their family, they may have to eat better than everybody else. So they just have to work harder at it. So no excuse whatsoever to not start eating healthy, and no time like the present, starting today, tonight.
I guess you could say that, listener, if you are overweight and your spouse is overweight and your children are overweight and your dog is overweight, it's not genetics, okay? I think we can probably make that safe assumption. It might be what you're putting in your body, so you might want to check that out. Okay, the number one search, and I'm glad people are looking at this thing because this video is amazing. The number one search, the number one viewed video on nutritionfacts.org was a presentation that you made, and we did a show on this not too long ago, Dr. Greger, you and I, and it is uprooting the leading causes of death. And you make a case in this video that food is connected to many, and we can almost say all, of the leading causes of death. Would I be too far off if I said that?
15 out of 16. Leading killer diseases. Well, actually, all the killer diseases. The only one that doesn't is accidents.
Yes,
accidents, is fourth leading cause of death. So, but since that's not a disease, one can say that every single one of the top 15 diseases, one can prevent can be, one can help prevent those diseases, all of them. One can help treat the majority of them and even reverse some of them, including our top three killers, with a plant-based diet. And so that, I mean, so this is kind of my year in review talk, me giving this presentation. Unlike the typical presentation, 2-3 minutes, this is the full hour. But, you know, people, I think, come to the website, they're overwhelmed. You know, you got hundreds of videos, 1,000 topics. So I really needed to sit down and just kind of do a summary. Yeah. Just kind of say, well, look, if you're going to look at one thing, you know, here, go here. I mean, and why not just go literally? I just start with number one, leading cause of death, heart disease, and just work my way down, you know, down to number 14, Parkinson's, and 15, aspiration pneumonia, just, and say, what role can diet play in preventing, treating, and reversing each one of these? So whether you're thinking about Alzheimer's or diabetes or emphysema, you know, all the leading causes of death, or even influenza pneumonia, here we are in flu season. I was surprised. I mean, you know, because basically there were a few I needed to fill in. You know, I didn't have any videos on Parkinson's disease, but look, it's our 14th leading killer, so I looked it up and was amazed to find out we have decades-old data showing that you can not only prevent Parkinson's disease, but actually use plant-based diets to effectively treat Parkinson's disease. Why didn't I learn that in medical school? So I was excited to share this with everybody.
And I'm glad you said that, because it leads right into what I want to say right now. You identify yourself as one of the leading causes of death in this country, Dr. Greger. You want to explain that to us?
Yeah, well, so, you know, I talk about how, look, there are medications, you know, that one can take cholesterol-lowering medications to reduce one's risk of death from heart disease, blood pressure medications, sugar pills, et cetera. You know, but I talk about, look, it's the same diet for each. It's not like there's one diet to prevent cancer, a different diet if you're worried about heart disease, a different diet if you're worried about kidney failure or diabetes. The exact same diet works against all of them. And I think, really, if you take a step back, that really tells us, you know, what diet we need to eat. There's only one diet on the planet proven to not just prevent and treat, but reverse our leading killer. So if there's only one diet that reverses our top killer, well, obviously, I mean, that should be the default option unless proven otherwise. And I talk about, well, so not just is it preferable to drugs in most cases because there's no side effects, but I tell people, look, you know, we're not talking a little rash here with side effects, right? Side effects kill. Side effects of prescription drugs kill an estimated 106,000 Americans every year. This is not drug overdose. This is not illicit drugs. This is not, you know, people taking drugs in a different way than they were prescribed. These were drugs taken as prescribed by doctors every year in this country, killing over 100,000 people dead from adverse drug reactions. And so if you look down the list, wait a second, that means that drugs are the sixth leading cause of death in this country. The sixth leading cause of death is doctors, is medical care, is these drugs. But we can prevent this. In fact, so the Seventh-day Adventist study, the longest-running study here in this country on vegetarians, started back in the 70s, found that compared to vegetarians, non-vegetarians, twice as likely to be on a long list of drugs, everything from laxatives to insulin to sleeping pills, tranquilizers, antidepressants. And so plant-based diets are great for people that don't like taking drugs, that don't like paying for drugs, and don't like risking drug side effects.
Well, listener, you can tell right now why I have this man on the program, and also you can tell why I want you to go to nutritionfacts.org if you have any questions at all when it comes to your nutrition or nutrition for your family. Please stop by there, check it out, watch these videos, enjoy what this man has to share with you, learn and live a much healthier life. You will be very glad you did that. Dr. Michael Greger, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely, anytime.
And until next time, this is Charles Mills for Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.